Starting tomorrow, the New York State Museum is opening an exhibition celebrating the centennial of women's suffrage in New York titled Votes for Women, Celebrating New York's Suffrage Centennial. Monday, November 6th, is the 100th anniversary date of women's suffrage in New York. Votes for Women celebrates the centennial of women's suffrage and raises public awareness of the struggle for women's suffrage and equal rights in New York. From the 1848 Seneca Falls Convention through 1917, when New York State granted women the right to vote. The exhibition also addresses the nationally significant role of New York State leaders in regards to women's rights and the feminist movement through the early 21st century. The curators of the exhibition are Jennifer Lamack and Ashley Hopkins Benton. They have worked in this exhibition for the past a few years, traveled the state to collect artifacts to feature in the exhibit. They've also co-authored an exhibit catalog, which is absolutely beautiful. And we welcome Jennifer and Ashley to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you for inviting us.
Well, how did this all come to be? Who had the idea first?
Well, we had a big, we were kind of coaxed into it.
Oh, okay.
Didn't take too much doing, but we had a big Civil War exhibit at the State Museum in 2012. And the director of exhibitions, Nancy Kelly, came to me afterwards and said, Jen, we're going to have the suffrage centennial in a couple years. You got to do it. And then I started poking around and thought, this is a really great story. And then brought Ashley into it, and we really got going in earnest, I believe, in 2014. Started traveling the state to see who had what, and it kind of all came together.
So, obviously, you know what the story, I mean, you have an idea. So it is, what is the story you want to tell and how you're going to tell it, right?
Correct.
And then, so what was it like going through the state to find all of the stuff to tell the story?
Oh, we had a blast. Honestly, I think we have some of the best jobs in history because we were allowed to go around the state and we both love going to museums and historical societies. So we got to show up and say, you know, what do you have dealing with women's rights and women's suffrage?
And it was so wonderful to see some of the connections in those collections, because in smaller historical societies and small museums, they don't always get outside of their community. So we were able to kind of dig in and make the connections between them at a statewide level.
What is it about let's talk about some of those small historical societies and so forth of the treasures they have, and then how aware are you of what they have and how much of it is a discovery going through and saying, oh, well, this would be great to tell this part of the story. This would be great to tell that part of the story.
Well, it goes back and forth that we knew kind of overall the story we wanted to tell, but this second level stories, the people, didn't really get fleshed out until we matched up specific artifacts. I think the biggest surprise for both of us was the Howland Stone Store Museum in Sherwood, New York, which is right near Aurora, mm-hmm. kind of in the middle of the state. And a longtime women's historian, Judy Wellman, told us when I called her up and said, you know, we're working on this. And she said, go to the Howland Stone Store. So we sent an email and said we'd love to come out. And it's this little tiny stone store on a corner on a it's a paved road, but it's a very small town. And we went in, and they turned out to have this remarkable collection of suffrage posters that were used by Isabel and Emily Howland, who were the local gals, and very active on the state and national level.
Do you put out a call as well to say, oh, this, by the way, this is what we're looking for, too?
We did. We sent out a flyer with kind of an overview of the exhibition and asking what kinds of things historical societies and museums might have in their collection.
So let's talk about the exhibit, the story itself, of what's so significant about this story and the role that New York played.
Well, New York really had a major role in the beginnings of the movement. When we started thinking about the exhibit, we thought we were going to start with the 1848 Seneca Falls story. But really, women were talking about women's rights well before that, across the nation, just after the Revolution. And in New York, especially amongst all of the other reform movements, amongst abolition and temperance, there was a lot of agitation very early on. Before the Seneca Falls Convention, New York State was the first to pass married women's property laws, protecting the property of women after they married, which otherwise would have all gone directly to their husbands. So they really got an early start. And then when they called the convention in Seneca Falls in July, they kind of came together and laid out all of the things that they were thinking about and the goals that they wanted to achieve, which included suffrage, but also included a lot of other things, access to education and the professions, and kind of looking at a more broad picture of women's rights. And that really got the ball rolling and organization started.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. I was going to say, and then the next kind of story to that is towards the end of the 19th century, women were organizing in women's clubs, and a lot of the women who were at the local level in the women's clubs were prominent on the state level and on the national level both. So in the beginning, you have Elizabeth Cady Stanton and Susan B. Anthony, who both lived very long lives. They didn't live to see the vote, but they were still around towards the end of the century and still working towards the movement. But then it's picked up, the movement is picked up in the state by Carrie Chapman Catt, who was very involved with the national movement and in passage of the 19th Amendment, along with Elizabeth Cady Stanton's daughter, Harriet Stanton Blatch. So there were several prominent New York State women involved on the national level all the way through.
Take us through the exhibit. And so if we can imagine it being radio, bringing us through the door and what you see and how it unfolds before you.
When you first walk in, the hallway actually focuses on marches and demonstrations and mm-hmm. how those were used to get women's views across. And we have a life-size blow-up of images of women in marches, starting with the 2017 Women's March and going back in history to 1977 at the Women's Convention in Houston, Texas, and then back further into some of the marches in the 19-teens. And so then you enter the gallery, and we start with the first section of the exhibition, which covers from 1776 to 1890, talking about the 19th century story and some of those early leaders in New York and in the national movement.
Oh, and then the second part of the exhibition is from 1890, when the two suffrage groups, the big national suffrage groups that broke apart, came back together in 1890 mm-hmm. as a united effort to get suffrage passed. So it starts in 1890 and goes through 1920 with the passage of the 19th Amendment. And then the third and final section is 1920 through the present day.
Okay, so here's a loaded question. I don't mean it to be, but let me just ask it because I'm curious, which is that we think of New York State as, well, New York State is a blue state, and New York State we think of it as a progressive state. And do you see seeds of that even at this point of time in history that you're looking at?
Absolutely. There were always reformers throughout history in New York State. And doing this exhibit really brought to light a lot of the local reformers and the state level reformers for both suffrage, dress reform, women's temperance. It runs the gamut of reform.
When you look at the New York story, how does it mirror the national story, and ultimately how do you represent that in the exhibit as well? Put it into the context of what's happening around the rest of the country.
Well, New York State was the 12th state to award women suffrage. The first one was Wyoming in 1869, but New York was the first state awarded women suffrage east of the Mississippi River, and it was probably the most politically important state to award women the vote. And we have several quotes, and several of the national leaders had the sentiment that once we get New York State, all the other states will fall like dominoes. I think that's a specific quote we have in the catalog.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone was very much looking forward to New York passing that referendum, so the rest of the important states could pass it as well.
What's the coolest thing to see?
I'll let you go first.
I know they're all your children, but...
We have so many, and I think we answer this question differently every time we are asked it.
All right.
One thing that we're very lucky to have is Susan B. Anthony's alligator purse, and it's actually only part of the exhibition for the first 3 weeks. The Susan B. Anthony House and Museum in Rochester was only willing to let it go for that long because it is so important to their exhibitions. But it is the purse that Susan B. Anthony carried around with her whenever she traveled, and she traveled extensively for the cause all over the country and all over the world. And in it, she carried the records of her 1872 arrest for voting and other really important supporting documents that she could pull out at a moment's notice if she needed to support her statements.
Wow.
And I think I have two today.
Okay. That's all right.
We have a couple posters that say victory in 1915. And then on top of them, there's a patch with the number 7 over it. So the women in Cayuga County use the posters both in for the 1915 campaign, threw a recycled patch on it, used it again in 1917. And then the second artifact that I love is we have one of Bella Abzug's hats that we borrowed from the Museum of the City of New York. And
oh, that's great.
Everybody associates Bella with wearing a hat.
Absolutely.
And we have one of them in it. So.
And we only have about a minute left, but and you have some wonderful programs that are associated with the exhibit as well that will be going on.
We do. There's a tomorrow all day at the State Museum. There is a suffrage conference that's bringing scholars and folks from around the state to talk about the topic. There's an opening tomorrow night hosted by the League of Women Voters. And on Sunday, we're actually open. The museum's usually not open on Monday, but Ashley and I will be giving a tour at noon because it's the actual anniversary day of suffrage.
Well, you can find out more information by going to the New York State Museum website. We have a link on our site, which is wamc.org/roundtable. Starting tomorrow, the New York State Museum is opening the exhibition celebrating the centennial of women's suffrage in New York titled Votes for Women, Celebrating New York's Suffrage Centennial. Jennifer, Ashley, thank you so much for being on the program this morning. A great pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.